from St. Louis Public Radio. This is the Politically Speaking Hour on St. Louis on the Air. I'm Jason Rosenbaum. St. Louis County officials are dealing with a sobering reality. The budget is nearly $80 million in the red, and the combination of reserve funds and special pots of money like the NFL settlement will dry up in the near future without a significant course correction. In essence, St. Louis County Executive Sam Page and members of the County Council have politically difficult choices to make. That could include cutting county services significantly and raising taxes to bring in more revenue. And perhaps unsurprisingly for people who follow St. Louis County government, there's a lot of disagreement between Page and the County Council about which direction to go. I spoke with St. Louis County Council Chairwoman Rita Days in her office in Clayton earlier this week. The Belknor Democrat discussed this year's contentious budget battle, as well as controversy over building a new animal shelter. I started by asking her to describe just how dire the county's budgetary problems are.
I cannot explain how dire it really is. We are looking at $81 million was the last account that I had from our budget coordinator, that we're $81 million in the hole. And I don't know how you can, you know, I guess it could get worse, but that's the worst that I have ever seen it.
St. Louis County Executive Sam Page wants to use a combination of budgetary reserves and part of the St. Louis Rams settlement to fill that $80 million gap for what's known as the general fund, which covers a lot of county government services, and the health department fund. Is that something you think the council will end up doing?
I do not think that we're going to do that. I don't think it's wise to spend one-time funding for ongoing services. What will we do next year? We still have the same issue, and so that addressing that in that way will not help.
From talking with Page earlier this year, the reserve funds in the NFL settlement is only going to last maybe another year or two more before the county does not have money to fill that budgetary hole. So he suggested placing what's known as the use tax, which is effectively a tax on online purchases, on the ballot again in 2026 as a way to raise money. What do you think of that idea?
Clearly, it's a way to generate additional revenue, and I'm generally supportive of a use tax. If you don't shop online, then you don't pay the tax. But I think, again, it's not fair for a brick and mortar to have to, you know, charge taxes like that, and then online purchases don't. I don't think that is the answer. I think that is part of the answer, but we have to get control of the spending. We cannot continue to just spend as we want and not have any kind of parameters around that.
I think I asked about it, the possibility of a use tax, because voters somewhat recently rejected it. I guess if it's messaged in a way where you say we need to pass this or we cut county services, is it possible that maybe more palatable in 2026?
In this last election, I believe there were a couple of munis that passed that, and several munis have already done that. It took them a couple of times to do that, but we have not put it on for us to pass that. I think it's not a good time right now in April. I think that's what the push is for April. Not sure if that's going to be a good idea or not. I think it needs messaging. It needs strong messaging as to what it actually means.
I think that the use tax does seem kind of like low-hanging fruit for the reasons you mentioned. But if it fails or the council doesn't want to put it on the ballot, as far as tax increases, there really aren't a lot of good options that are going to be widely popular. You could raise property taxes, but nobody likes paying more in property taxes. You could figure out some sort of other sales tax, but there's already a lot of sales taxes in St. Louis County. Is really the use tax the only tax increase you can think of at the moment that would be toward the revenue side of this budgetary gap?
Right now, it seems to be the only viable alternative that we have. But again, we have to get a control of the spending, and people are not likely to continue to support paying more taxes. And it doesn't seem that you're responsible in the spending area.
Okay, so let's talk about spending, because eventually part of this discussion is going to be about what you end up cutting or eliminating from county government. I mean, I think it's going to have to be more than just taking away certain vacant positions or certain employees. You may have to rethink certain programs, or even if the county should cover some global type services. Is that fair to say?
It's very fair to say. And what we have done and what we noticed was that we do a lot of things that we are not necessarily charged to do, either through charter or state law. There are a lot of things that we do because it's a nice thing to do. It's good, good for the public. But it becomes to a point where you can't afford those kinds of things. And so the council is really looking at pulling back to actually what we need to do in terms of mandatory expenditures that we must do.
Do you have any examples of things that are nice to do, but the county doesn't necessarily have to do?
Well, let's look at the health department, for instance. We're looking right now at an FQHC lookalike that we are investing in. That's about, I'm not sure how many millions of dollars that is, but can we afford that? It's a nice thing to have. We have three centers. We have two in my district, actually two health centers, and we have one in South.
FQ,
Federally Qualified Health Centers.
Got it.
And it's a lookalike, LAL. So we're not, it's just not a Finier and those kinds of things, but we're a lookalike. And it's a good thing to do if you can afford to do it. But at this particular juncture, I don't think we can afford it.
I understand there's a combative dynamic between County Executive Page and the council. And I genuinely get that there's differences of opinion about how to deal with this looming budgetary calamity. We should not have groupthink here, especially when cuts could actually have real consequences. But what's stopping all eight of the people I'm talking about, the seven members of the council and County Executive Page, getting into a room, coming up with a plan, and if you're going to do cuts, you do it all together rather than just, it's like a game of volleyball where you're asking the council to make cuts or the county executive to make cuts?
Well, I think as part of leadership, you're asking and you should be asking your department heads, listen, we have an $80 million deficit. What can you do without? What kind of services can we do without that we're not mandated to do? As people retire or leave the county, what kinds of technology can we use, to stand up some programs that don't necessarily need a person doing? I think we need to do a lot of that. And when all the departments come and they all have this bloated, I'm going to just say bloated budget, it doesn't bode well. We really have to be the ones to have the fortitude to say, we can't afford this and what can we do without? If we look at half of those budget line items, many of those folks have only spent maybe 65 or 70% of their budget. There are only a couple of departments that I can think of off the top of my head that have spent 100% of their budget. And one of them is the police department. And we clearly understand that.
Let's move to the county animal shelter, where shelter staff are dealing with an overcrowding crisis. Last week, shelter director Malik Johnson told St. Louis Public Radio they are housing and caring for 180 animals in a facility that has a capacity for 80. You've introduced two bills that animal shelter leaders say would benefit the center and decrease its population, including a code amendment that would allow the shelter director to waive or reduce adoption fees, and a provision that would allow the shelter to accept gifts, grants, and donations that total more than $1,000. My understanding is those provisions have not been moved on by the council. What is kind of going on with those ideas?
Well, both of those are monetary items. We don't have the money for that. The first one was the $3 million, and that was to pass inspection. When the inspectors came, we had three things that we needed to do. We needed to put the tops on the dog food so that the vermin didn't get in the dog food. We had to clean the poop up in the yard, and then we had to throw out expired medications. In my mind, that's not $3 million. And I think the effort around here is to throw money at everything. Money is not all. Those kinds of things did not need additional funding in order to make them happen. We took care of those deficiencies. We passed the licensure, and now we are fully licensed. The other was to build another building. You cannot build your way out of the congestion that we have there. I equated that to the jail. The jail right now is overcrowded. Are we going to go and build another jail so that we can continue to warehouse people? No, we're not going to do that. So we have to manage our population. There's a population manager at the ACC. They have to do a better job of managing the animals there.
So just to make sure I understand you, for waiving or reducing adoption fees is not really a feasible option right now because the loss in county revenue would be pretty substantial, and it's not something the county can just fill in the gaps on, basically.
Well, no, we have not been able to do that. And I think that having those kinds of opportunities every now and then, that's great. But we just can't open up the doors and say, okay, come and get an animal. You know, we have to pay for the dog food. We have to pay for the shelter. We have to pay for everything that is involved in making sure that those animals are appropriately cared for. And again, it's a matter of management. And that's my opinion.
Well, let's talk again about the proposal to use $20 million in RAM settlement funds for improvements to the animal shelter. We've heard from several St. Louis Public Radio listeners who would like to see those funds used to provide additional support to shelters. I think that this has been sitting on the agenda or sitting kind of in limbo for a while. You mentioned that you didn't want to build another shelter and you compared it to the jail. But, like, isn't this kind of what the RAMS money is for, these one-time projects that could provide long-term benefit?
But is that a one-time project? I don't think that that's a one-time opportunity because when, let's just say, we build a facility for 300 animals and then we get 300 animals, then do we have to build another facility for that? I mean, that's sort of kind of an elemental way of looking at that, but that's essentially what you're saying. I think the answer has to be around the population management and how we manage our animals in the shelter.
Well, last month, the council passed a bill that raised adoption fees for dogs and cats from $40 to $80. County Executive Sam Page vetoed the bill allowing this change, but this was actually unanimously overridden, which is very rare for the council. Why do you think that happened?
Because $40 has been the adoption rate for I don't know how many years, and it's not covering basic costs of caring for an animal. And so raising the fee to $80, and by the way, that's still among one of the lowest in the area. There are facilities at $120, $300 to adopt an animal. And so we compromised on $80 as manageable. I did say that if I found that from the director that there was a decrease in the number of adoptions, that we will look at it again. But my last conversation with the director was that we had several animals that had been adopted even with the $80 price.
So we've received a lot of listener interest in the animal shelter, which I'm not surprised on. One of the things I've noticed about county government, if it involves the animal shelter or parks, it usually has wide interest.
Absolutely.
Laura is a long-term volunteer at the St. Louis County Pet Adoption Center. She says its limitations are duly noted, but the only outcome of closing the shelter is mass killing of hundreds of dogs and cats who did nothing to end up there and deserve loving homes. The use of the shelter as a political pawn is terrible at its root. I challenge the council members to come visit the shelter and engage with the animals whose lives are at stake, as well as to see the massive effort of their constituents who work tirelessly to save these animals. Have you visited the shelter, and what do you think of Laura's comments?
Well, I think Laura's comments are on point from her perspective. I have adopted about four animals from the shelter over the years, so I'm very familiar with that and how it works. And so I think that as we move forward in looking at that, it's a matter of operations. We have to have people in these shelters who know what they're doing. I do not advocate mass euthanasia, and I think that's where she's leading there for that.
In fact, yeah, Nikki, you actually led to the next comment.
Okay.
Nikki says, St. Louis County Shelter is not supported by the county council. Volunteers and staff have advocated for years to change ordinances that would help with the animal welfare crisis, but the council can't even be bothered to respond to communications from their constituents. The county council wants to turn the shelter into a pound, which means the only way for animals to leave is via licensed rescue or euthanasia. So you were about to talk about that particular subject of euthanasia. What is your kind of response to Nikki's comments?
I do not support mass euthanasia for population control. It's just that simple. We have to manage the population. We have to go out. I look at the newspaper and I see animals advertised. I see animals advertised on the television. I see animals at various locations and people looking to adopt. That's something that we need to include in our processes as we're looking at these animals. We have to get the animals out there. Who knows where they are? Our volunteers do a fantastic job. We could not absolutely run that place without the volunteers. But again, we have to understand there's limitations in what we can do, and we're doing the best we can with what we have.
This episode was produced by Jason Rosenbaum and Emily Woodbury. Recording by Jason Rosenbaum.
With editing assistance from Emily Woodbury.
Podcast design by Aaron Dorr.
Our executive producer is Alex Hoyer.
St. Louis on the Air is a production of St. Louis Public Radio. Understanding starts here.
Do you find yourself regularly listening to episodes of St. Louis on the Air? Suggest us to a friend you think might enjoy our conversations. And leave us a review and rating on Apple Podcasts on the App Store. It's the simplest way to help people discover our show. Thanks.
St. Louis Public Radio is a member-supported service of the University of Missouri-St. Louis.